Influencers is brought to you by
7Seas. Start your day the right way. Soya Studios, located in the Flowers Plaza, Carmichael Road West. Carib Construction. Real-Time Sound Studios. And Global Transformation Media, transforming you from the inside out. Welcome to Influencers on Guardian Talk Radio, 96.9 FM, and I am your host, Lady Shima. And on this radio show, we take you into the world of leaders within Bahamian society and the global community to give you insight on how they use their influence to bring about positive change. We provide this platform for influencers to inspire our listeners with their personal stories on how they maneuver and strategize to still be impactful and influential even in this new norm environment post-COVID-19. It is our hope that the stories and the insight of the influencers we bring to you will inspire you to use the power of your influence to bring transformational change to your immediate environment, Bahamian society, and for some, even across international divides. And today we take you into the mind of a noted parliamentarian who has set a bar for the Bahamas in foreign relations and diplomatic affairs. He's an attorney at law and the former Minister of Foreign Affairs and Immigration. He now serves as chairman of the Progressive Liberal Party, the PLP. Today, we discuss the impact of majority rule in a modern Bahamas, hot topics impacting the national landscape of the Bahamas, and elections 2022. All this and more when we return here on Influencers on Guardian Talk Radio, 96.9 FM. Need your picture taken? Well, if you want it to look its best, then go to the best. It's Soya Studios, capturing your special events, portraits, passport, job, and visa photos. Plus, there's more. Also offering professional printing services of business cards, letterheads, signs, and banners. Opened Monday to Saturday, 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. It's a legacy. 28 years and growing. Located in the Flowers Plaza, Carmichael Road. Call 361-7786.
Start your day the right way with 7Seas.
Start your day the right way. Trust in the timeless tradition of 7Seas Cod Liver Oil. 7Seas Cod Liver Oil is a rich, natural source of omega-3, giving you the essential nutrients needed to promote good health and help make sure you're looking and feeling your very best. Whether it's one a day, high strength, or traditional, with 7Seas Cod Liver Oil, you start your day the right way.
Start your day the right way with 7Seas.
At Carib Construction and Project Management, we do three things. We give you exactly what you want at the best possible price while building at the best construction standards in the industry. So when making that big investment in building a home, apartment, or commercial complex, trust our over 20 years of professional experience in architectural drawing, design, and electrical. We even offer complete packages with property and construction included. See our impressive portfolio at caribconstruction.com or call us at 341-4466. Welcome back to Influencers, and I'm your host, Lady Shima. And with me today is influencer Senator Fred Mitchell. Welcome to the show, Senator.
Great to be here. Thank you for having me.
It's really awesome to have you here. Some very, very interesting things happening in our nation today. And looking at the rise of intolerance, I would say, when it comes to the electorate, they're becoming more vocal, even enraged as we look at some of the issues that we are now presented with as a people. But let's start off on a lighter side, and that is the name of the show is Influencers, and this show is concerned with taking listeners into the experiences of influencers to take a closer look at how influencers leverage their influence to bring about positive change. But before we get into that, I want you to just take 2 minutes to tell me a bit about two persons who have influenced your life, one who has influenced your core values as an individual, and another who has influenced your political aspirations and career.
Well, I would say my mother is probably the main influencer.
Really?
She's quite a community lady and quite a professional and, a stickler for doing things right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she had a good close working relationship with your uncle, late Dowrell. She was his secretary.
Yes, yes.
My father similarly had, they were just sticklers for doing things the right way.
Mm-hmm.
And the level of aggression, I suppose, came from my mother. My father was much more laid back, but it was in that home in Collins Avenue that all of this was bred.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of my political career, well, obviously Lyndon Pinling, who I met as a high school student back in 1969, but the person who really took me on under his wings was Loftus Roker.
Mm-hmm.
After I spoke at
the convention,
the 1975 convention, the Progressive Liberal Party.
Mm-hmm.
And I often tell the younger ones that politics is a fortuitous business, which means it's sometimes a matter of luck.
Mm-hmm.
I happened to be the chairman of the Centerville branch of the PLP at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was supposed to give the party's annual report, for the branch report. Of course,
yes.
You know, nobody sits through branch reports because they're rather routine.
Mm-hmm.
But I had the good fortune of speaking in the morning when Muhammad Ali was appearing at the convention.
Oh, wow.
And I kept sitting there praying. I said, boy, I hope that I get to speak just before he comes in, because, of course, if I speak after he comes in, nobody's going to be here to listen.
Okay.
And it happened that way. God had it happen that way.
That way, okay.
And so the whole hall was full of people from the prime minister right down to the lowliest.
Mm-hmm.
And when the speech was finished, Sir Lyndon jumped up to his feet and he ran up to me. There was a standing ovation and he said, young man, you're on your way.
Wow.
And I got put on all the various committees and Loftus Roker walked up to me and said, you know, I like you. Mm-hmm. I like what you're doing. And I was appointed a few months later because the convention takes place in October. So in January of the next year, which would have been 76, I was appointed a member of the board of the Bahamas Telecommunications Corporation.
Wow.
I was 22 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you started out pretty young.
Yeah.
And so would you say that destiny found you?
Divine providence.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think so. But I've been very fortunate, I think, and I've tried to say this is a fairly easy country to impact civil society.
Mm-hmm.
And I encourage those who are interested in public service to understand that about the kind of country we have.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot easier now because you don't have, you have social media, which you didn't have when I was in my 20s. Mm-hmm. I mean, that didn't exist. There was the Tribune, the Guardian, and Zed Ness, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to find a way to make your way amongst those.
But now you have a direct feed.
Yes, you can do it all yourself. So you have it much easier, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yesterday, the PLP officials, including yourself, gathered at the resting place, the mausoleum of the late Sir Lyndon Pinling, to commemorate the advent, of course, the majority rule day. And of course, that momentous occasion taking place January 10th, 1967, with the promise of fair play and equal opportunity, even for the common man, even for the common everyday Bahamian. That's 54 years ago, 5.5 decades. The PLP has been in governance, not consecutively, for, we can say quite fairly, over 30 years, over 3 decades.
Mm-hmm.
What do you believe now, since majority rule, now looking at a modern-day Bahamas 2021, what do you believe has been the real impact of the PLP when it comes to the overall development and advancement of this nation?
Well, the real impact, I think, by far, is the fact that the African population in the Bahamas has a self-assurance that this is their country, which they didn't have before 1967. That's it, plain and simple.
Mm-hmm.
There are lots of other add-ons, but that's it, plain and simple.
Let's talk about those add-ons, though. Let's talk about the Bahamas today, 2021. That's why I specifically called the year. Because now, of course, you're sitting as the opposition now, the PLP, that is.
Mm.
And the opposition should be very vocal. That is a part of the actual purpose of the opposition. Whenever anything comes up in the House, the opposition ought to have its say. And you're now having the electorate that's becoming more up in arms. And when hearing from the opposition saying, listen, you all have been governing for XYZ amount of years. Why didn't you do it then? Why are you only speaking up now? What is it that you would say to someone who would ask you the question that I just asked?
I ask him, why would you complain about the air when that's all there is to breathe?
Mm.
Essentially, that comment is rubbish.
Mm-hmm. Why would you say that comment is rubbish?
Well, because it doesn't make any sense. I mean, the fact is we are where we are.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, either you're satisfied with minutes or we'll just be silent.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the comment just doesn't, it's a non sequitur. It doesn't make any sense.
Okay.
The fact is we are where we are and we respond to what exists today.
Okay, you just said either we're satisfied with minutes.
Yeah.
Let's go back to 2017.
Mm-hmm.
One of the most miserable defeats that the Progressive Liberal Party has ever experienced in its entire life.
That.
You didn't consider it that?
No.
Okay, well, we're looking at it.
That's how. That's
we're looking at it numerically, yeah, okay? We're looking at the numbers. We're looking at the amount of seats that the FNM got opposed to the number of seats that the PLP got.
Yeah.
We're looking at those landmark almost kind of constituencies where the teeth of the PLP was definitely sunk in, where people would think, by and large, for the most part, that, hey, the PLP has got this for next to eternity. But we saw that there was definitely a flip when it came to almost every seat, including yours, Senator. And so how can you say that, okay, you're not pleased with Minas, so we are where we are? By and large, are we not where we are as a people, largely due to the governance of the PLP, seeing as though the PLP was in power for such for the majority of time?
No, sir. No, sir. The FNM has been in power longer in the last 20 years than the PLP. I was just talking to a policeman.
I'm talking about since the formation. I'm talking about since 1967. I'm talking about since majority rule.
Yeah, but, you know, the situation which obtains today has to do with the FNM's governance. It's got nothing to do with the PLP.
It's nothing to do with the PLP?
Absolutely nothing. Nothing.
Does the governance of the PLP over 30 years, over 30 years, over three decades, does it have anything to do with where we are as a people today in 2021 in the Bahamas?
Let's go back to majority rule and the 25 years.
We want to go back to 1967.
No.
Well, okay, we have this discussion in 2021.
I was asked to come here and speak about that, so I'm going to speak about that.
Okay.
You know, the institutions of the country, independence, the fact of the country is a Progressive Liberal Party invention. That's clear. National insurance, for example, which is helping us get through this pandemic, was a national insurance was implemented by the Progressive Liberal Party. So if you want to say yes, those things, governance, the Defense Force, the College of the Bahamas, now the University of the Bahamas, the Central Bank, all the institutions of the country were all put in place by the Progressive Liberal Party. And what was run was a lot of rubbish in 2017 about what the PLP didn't do. National health
none
insurance.
None of it was true.
I can't say none of it was true, but certainly what they made it out to be was simply false, demonstrably false. Like stealing the VAT money, rubbish. It was a lie, a blatant lie. You know, and they keep, you know, repeating this propaganda about corruption, for example. And now, who it turns out, their own, what is it? The deputy prime minister had to resign for what? I mean, you know, so people should.
Was it not alleged? Has it been proven?
Well, it's alleged or it ain't alleged. The fact is, they didn't worry about that with the PLP. There is no demonstrable corruption which the FNM can point to. None, none, none. They can make up stories. But there's none. None.
What is the qualifying adverb you used just now? What? There is no what corruption?
Demonstrable. You prove it.
Ah.
They locked up two guys who were minister, former members of parliament. It turns out the evidence was fabricated, flimsy evidence.
You're using an absolute term. You said none.
None. None.
As the member of parliament for Fox Hill, I've had many conversations with Foxhillians. I have lots of friends there. And I've next to never heard anything bad about you as the representative for Fox Hill. People love
best.
You there. They say that you've been a good representative for so many years, and you've done so much good for the community. And I was reading through and seeing some of the work that you have done there, benefactor and friend to all of the schools in the area, most notably the Sandilands Primary School, L.W. Young Junior High School, the Doris Johnson High School. And there are so many other things that you have done there as well. Though you're not holding the seat, what do you think is the reason for that? After such great and good representation, all of a sudden, there was obvious shock, because I remember the response back in 2017 that, hey, certain seats are no longer being held by the PLP, by the grip of the PLP, Fox Hill being one of those. What do you have to say to that?
Well, you lose elections, that's all.
You lose elections and that's all?
Mm-hmm. You win.
So you don't think
you
it has
some.
Anything to do with how... You don't think it has anything to do with the representation? It just has to do possibly. Now, let me finish the question. It just has to do possibly with the fact that maybe the electorate was just so sick and tired of the great governance of the PLP that now they wanted to throw you up by a landslide.
Well, you know, I don't really concern myself with that. That's the past. My concentration now is we're in a bad shape and we need a better government. The PLP will provide a better government whenever that election is called. And, you know, people say they're not feeling this and not feeling that. Well, if you're satisfied with Minas, go ahead, vote for him. That's the alternative is the Progressive Liberal Party. And we're going to do the best we can to put together a team which will better govern this country. That's it.
When is that team going to be presented? Because it's already January 2021. People are really antsy about seeing, you know, the layout.
So I hear. But, you know, the fact is that it's 18 months away, so it's still some time to go.
18 months away, possibly. With no possibility of an early call, you think?
Well, I see the spokespersons for the other party say they're not calling an early election. I mean, I don't believe them. The PLP is ready whenever the election is called, and we'll present the best team we can, you know.
Okay, the PLP is ready now.
Ready always.
I like that response, ready always. Okay, so 2022 elections. Let's talk about that just a little bit, and then we're going to get back to it for part two some more as well. What do you believe, you are the chairman for the Progressive Liberal Party, what do you believe that the PLP will be offering differently now than it has offered before to the electorate for this upcoming election?
I'm not sure that is a fair question, because the project of majority rule, which is economic empowerment, is an mm-hmm. ongoing project. There's an expression in Portuguese, a luta continua, which is mm-hmm. the struggle continues. Mm-hmm. We're still struggling against racism, classism, and colorism in this country. Mm-hmm. That's a struggle which many people felt in 67 we had conquered, but we clearly haven't. Mm-hmm. So the self-esteem of our people, the cultural, that must be culturally ingrained in our people as an African people, where these negatives are taught to you from the time you were a child, all of those things, we have to continually fight against them. Mm-hmm. So that's one, the cultural project. The mm-hmm. economic project has to do with empowerment of ordinary people.
Of course.
Clearly has not happened, because mm-hmm. clearly wealth is now more concentrated than it was, even though the people who are our detractors are the ones who benefited the most by the wealth, but they're the main detractors of the PLP. Mm-hmm. So there's this inverse relationship between the good which happened to these people, the minority, mm-hmm. and the bad which has happened as a result of their concentration of wealth, mm-hmm. and the good the PLP has done overall. So as I said, when you return to governance, there are certain projects which have to be continued. Mm-hmm. For example,
Here goes the answer to my question.
National health insurance.
That's what I was asking you.
Well, national health insurance. No, you said you were indicating something new, and I'm mm-hmm. saying it's a continuing project. Mm-hmm. So it's not necessarily new. It's a continuing project.
Okay.
These folk who are in power now fought tooth and nail against national health insurance, and they're in problems now, can't treat sick people because they fought against national health insurance.
Okay, well, share with me the particulars then of the continuance.
As I said, national health insurance is one of them. Agricultural development is another. Mm-hmm. You know, they turned BAMSI into a burnout building, talking rubbish about burning down a building, which mm-hmm. is nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
If you went to BAMSI, you'll see the vastness and the importance of that project to food security. They virtually stopped it.
Mm-hmm.
So that needs to continue.
Mm-hmm.
Andros itself, we need to protect Morgan's Bluff. Make sure that it doesn't go into the hands of these folk who run the port now
mm-hmm.
and control the port. Because Andros is going to be the breadbasket of the country. We are committed to bridging Andros from north to south, developing the road system, making sure that the port is in public hands, mm-hmm. those kinds of projects. Obviously, the tourism project is going to need refreshing because of this pandemic. I mean, so you're going to have to do that. The debt situation is completely out of control. We got to find some way to get some money in here, cheap money, and get it in people's pockets. Because mm-hmm. I think after the election, job number one is going to be the economy, and job number two is going to be jobs.
Any specific
for people.
Plans? Yeah, I don't know exactly how you're going to go about doing that.
Well, I mean, we've said that we want to dedicate $250 million to a venture capital fund for small and medium-sized enterprises, because we think that's the thing that's going to be able to drive the economy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just for starters.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be an important initiative, I think. The other thing, of course, is the PLP has always been education-oriented. I want to make sure that we expand the Public Scholars Program, which is started by Jerome Fitzgerald.
Mm-hmm.
And Public Scholars Program is for public school students. It was started because private school students were getting the jump on public school students for the scholarships which were available in the normal scholarship program of the Bahamas government. So we came with this public scholars program, negotiated with universities in the U.S. The government provides the tuition,
mm-hmm.
and the universities over there provide everything else. So basically everything is free to the university student. And that's been a tremendous success, and we need to double it, triple it. I think that's important. So lots of things to do of a continuing nature.
Mm-hmm. What about the financing of all of those great and awesome plans that you just
Yeah, you need money. You need to find the money from somewhere. Mm-hmm. One thing about money is, although it doesn't grow on trees, it's there. It's not lost anywhere, and you mm-hmm. can find it once you negotiate it under the right conditions.
And you believe that the PLP can will do that. Should they win come 2024?
Promise that's what we'll do.
Okay. Alrighty, moving right along. Let's talk a little bit more about the education element, seeing as though that you just sort of paused right there. I had a little bit of a conversation with the Minister of Education, Jeffrey Lloyd, concerning his comments as relates to where he described the examinations, the BJC, the BGCSE, as being successful. There were lots of talk show hosts the following day who really gripped down on that, saying, oh my goodness, how in the world can you actually describe it as successful after looking at the results? What is the result of the PLP when looking at the national grade point average still standing at a grade letter D? That's after, of course, it being marked on a curve, taking into consideration now the virtual environment in which we now exist in the educational arena. What's going to be happening differently when it comes to education and really helping our youth really get their grips about them as it relates to being able to function in a 21st century global environment, because we are no longer now just secluded here in the Bahamas. What happens in the world really impacts us. We need to be able to compete on a global level.
Well, you're absolutely right. And let me put it this way. The experts have told us, and this isn't developed policy, the Progressive Liberal Party, that, you know, we're working in a school system that was designed for 19th century factory workers. Mm-hmm. And that clearly does not fit what is required now. Mm-hmm. The assumption is, for example, with this switch to computerization and digitization, the assumption is that youngsters know more about this stuff than we do because they grew up in it. And in a sense, they are more mechanically adept at it. But things like discerning what is true and false on the internet is a skill we have to start teaching them, because mm-hmm. in this dispensation, it appears they believe any garbage that's online. Mm-hmm. So my point is that something of a revolutionary and evolutionary nature has to be done with the education system to do precisely what you say, just to better equip the students of today to live in the world of today and tomorrow. And I can only say, as a general nature, we're committed to that exercise, because we've heard enough mm-hmm. criticism, expertise, professional advice on this subject. Mm-hmm. I suspect also that the physical plant of the schools, for example, L.W. Young and Fox Hill, needs a lot of work on the mm-hmm. physical plant. Those buildings, L.W. Young, S.C. McPherson, I think to some extent A.F. Adley, mm-hmm. Were all built with this prefab material, which only had a 20-year life, and they've now gone long past their shelf life, and they mm-hmm. need to be replaced. It was done because the demand for secondary education right after the PLP came to power in the 70s was so much, and the expansion, we had to do something really quickly. The buildings need to be replaced, so that's a project that we have to get behind as well.
Of course, and there also needs to be extreme consideration given to the virtual learning environment now in which we now exist, is not so much the actual physical location are due to COVID-19.
Yeah, so I see. But, you know, COVID-19 is going to go away eventually.
Eventually.
And we have to go back to a face-to-face environment.
Eventually.
Know? Yeah. And yeah. So the physical is going to, I think, still be important, particularly for the socialization. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm really concerned about the effect of all of this on the teaching people, the socialization process, how you actually get along with people, you know, mm-hmm. and not seeing through some computer.
That's so very true.
Yeah.
Yeah, and therein lies, too, the incorporation of the hybrid model, mm-hmm. you know, where you have some classes that are done virtually and then you have some classes that are done face-to-face.
Right.
And then you're doing this over a period of time until hopefully, you know, the COVID-19 situation would have turned around.
Yes, right. Yeah, yeah. Which it will.
Yes, we pray. And quickly. Yeah. And talking about COVID-19, let's talk a little bit about that. Let's talk a little bit about what's going on with that right now. Per this recording, 8,004 confirmed cases, 175 deaths. The first question that I want to ask you about it is, what do you feel would have been done differently for us to not be where we are as a people, as a nation, as it relates to this COVID-19 situation, should the PLP been in power?
Well, our COVID task force has been talking about testing, and that's really the solution to this.
Since the beginning?
Yeah, from the very start. You know, they opposed testing, and then they agreed to testing. They opposed the masks, and then they agreed to the mask. You know, it's just on and on and on. One sort of mistake after the next. But, I mean, clearly the science is the mask is important. The social distancing is important.
Of course.
We've said public education is important. But, you know, right now, since younger people are not generally affected by the disease, I think everybody's pretty cheesed off of this government and all the clamping down and opening up, and, you know, the economy's going in the tank. So it's creating social pressure. So I think we would have done a better job in managing all of that.
You think you would have done a better job in managing all of that sitting on the other side as the opposition? You know, because, you know, some people say hindsight is the best sight. Or do you really feel that the PLP is just more capable, period?
I think we're more capable. I think also more sensitive to what's going on. You know, in big ways and in small ways, you know, you could always get to a PLP politician and get them to respond. And that's the difference. You know, it's the sensitivity which people...
Yes,
you know,
that is so.
I mean, you know, people cuss and carry on and say this and that. But at the end of the day, you know, you can get to them. Uh-huh. You know, and they're not going to be ducking you and, you know, that sort of stuff.
Okay. Recently, you made a mention of some of the questions that you believe that the electorate, the Bahamian people would have the government to answer. One of them you spoke about, and still going along the strands here of talking about health issues, and that is talking about the new strain now. There was COVID-19, and now all of a sudden we're talking about new strains. And, of course, we know with tourism being our number one industry and talking about global travel, one day it was all the way in China when this first started. Now, all of a sudden, we are dealing with 8,004 cases here in the Bahamas. So we have to have extreme concern as it relates to the new strains. Of course, listening to health officials, they are saying now that what it is that we're already doing would already suffice as long as we keep our guard up. And that is with the social distancing, with the mask wearing, with the constant sanitizing of hands, et cetera, et cetera. No capacity to test for the new strain, according to the director of the National Reference Lab. What are your comments on that?
Well, you know, the country has a resource problem, period. And also it has a planning problem and the problem of looking into the future. So part of, you know, our sort of general criticism of what happened over all of this was, remember that the reason why all these lockdowns were put in place in the first instance, they said, was to stop the pressure on the hospitals so that all the beds and ventilators wouldn't take up. And it would give the government time to ramp up equipment, personnel, services. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. And we keep getting caught with our pants down with this issue. So I imagine you have the same issue now. I mean, you could see this kind of thing coming. But, you know, I think generally our professionals, they know what to do, and they can properly advise the politicians and the policymakers. And if those policymakers follow the advice, I think, you know, we'll be fine generally.
What is the actual purpose of the PLP COVID task force specifically? As it relates to COVID-19.
It is to put together a professional group of people to make recommendations on the government's programs insofar as it relates to COVID.
Any of those recommendations have been adhered to or taken up by the government, as you know?
If they have, they've been done quite grudgingly.
They've been done quite grudgingly.
Yeah, if they have.
Interesting description.
Yeah. Well, you know, he started off by saying, I don't listen to Brave, so I guess that tells you. That's what he said from the public platform, so.
I heard.
Yeah.
I heard. Yeah. You know, time really flies when you're having fun. I definitely want to get more into hot topics, dealing with what's going on with the Bahamas Petroleum Company. Of course, there's lots of talk going on with the drilling. We really have to get into that, and also more about COVID. And there's so much more that's going on. I would like for us to talk a little bit more about that. All right, so we're going to take a break right here, right now. You're listening into Influencers here on Guardian Talk Radio, 96.9 FM. I am your host, Lady Shima. We will come back with more after these words. Need your picture taken? Well, if you want it to look its best, then go to the best.
It's Soya Studios, capturing your special events, portraits, passport, job, and visa photos. Plus, there's more. Also offering professional printing services of business cards, letterheads, signs, and banners. Opened Monday to Saturday, 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. It's a legacy. 28 years and growing. Located in the Flowers Plaza, Carmichael Road. Call 361-7786.
Start your day the right way. Seven Seas.
Start your day the right way. Trust in the timeless tradition of Seven Seas Cod Liver Oil. Seven Seas Cod Liver Oil is a rich natural source of omega-3, giving you the essential nutrients needed to promote good health and help make sure you're looking and feeling your very best. Whether it's one a day, high strength, or traditional, with Seven Seas Cod Liver Oil, you start your day the right way.
Start your day the right way with Seven Seas.
Welcome back to Influencers, and I'm your host, Lady Shima, and with me today is influencer Senator Fred Mitchell. And we're going to get a bit more into talking about more so about these hot topics that are so seriously impacting Bahamian society today. Of course, one of the biggest hot topics right now is that of BPC, the Bahamas Petroleum Company, and with this drilling that's going on and this ironclad agreement. And I asked to pre-show about the original and initial okay and license for this drilling to go forth. And you said, hey, Lady Shima, it's us, the PLP, 2007, Prime Minister Christie. Hmm. We are for drilling. Hmm. Yes, sir.
Yeah, well, facts are facts.
And how is this going to impact us as a people economically? How is it going to benefit us?
Well, I mean, the prediction.
Why was that given the okay?
Well, I mean, on the facts. I mean, you know, it's...
Give the facts as to why the PLP okayed that.
Well, the facts are there was no problem. The law allows it, and they presented a good proposal, and they paid their fees, and they got the license. So that's
They paid their fees, and they got the license. Mm-hmm. How did the Bahamian people benefit from the paying of those fees?
How? Well, it went into the consolidated fund, so the consolidated fund helps to support schools and medicine and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know? You know, people are trying to make this a big moral. There's no moral element in this. You know, this is all rubbish.
There's no moral element in this?
No, there isn't. None. It's like people with the gambling issue trying to make it a moral. There's no moral element in it.
No moral element when it comes to okaying oil drilling in the Bahamas, mm-hmm. where we have what as our number one industry?
That's not
tourism.
Moral. That's not moral. That's not a moral thing.
Let's talk about it economically. Let's just say that there were to be a spill.
I mean,
was any consideration given to that?
Well,
is that not major?
Well, there's not going to be a spill. So the economic thing, yeah, I mean, you can, I know the argument you're making, tourism against the environment. But the fact is...
That I'm making, that the Bahamian people's making, that the electorate
well,
is making?
Well, I mean, you're speaking the arguments as an interviewer. You're putting the arguments
that's
you've
exactly
heard
what
in
I'm
the public
doing.
Domain.
Thank you very much
yeah.
for clarifying that,
so,
sir.
And I'm responding to it. And I'm saying that those arguments, I hear them, but, you know, a government has to be sensible. You know, you can't be foolish and you can't, you know, if there's something which predicts there's going to be between 5 and 20 billion left for your treasury as a result of this. Why would you be foolish enough to say ab initio that you're not going to consider it? I mean, that doesn't make any sense for a broke country.
And how many billions of dollars potentially will the Bahamas lose should there be an oil spill?
Well,
which you
potentially.
Said that there will not be.
Potentially.
I said should there be. Potentially.
Yeah, potentially.
Was that taken into, consideration when the decision
well,
was made to
I'm
give
sure,
the okay?
I'm sure it was. First of all, there has to be an economic impact study. There has to be an environmental study, and the environmental study will show whether it's safe to do so or not. I mean, you know,
and the environmental study show that it's not safe to do
the
it?
The license would not have been granted had the environmental study not shown that fact.
So the Bahamian electorate just whatever.
What is happening now is that you have a set of political operatives who are whipping up hysteria over an issue which is not worth the hysteria. There are many more issues to deal with. Here's where I'm with those who are protesting. On the general issue of what revenue derives from natural resources, we are with you. On the specifics of some proposal or some particular project, that minutia, I'm not in that. What I say is you have a legitimate argument if you say that salt is not properly monetized, if you say that aragonite is not properly monetized. I'm with you there. But when you start going, say, well, this one signed a contract and that wasn't enough. And so governments make decisions based on the facts which they have before them at the time. And that's all you can do. Mm-hmm. Your best judgment at the time. Another generation can come back and say, well, you shouldn't have done that. It's up to them. If they want to change it, change it. You know, that's what democracy is.
Now, of course, the Bahamian electorate, quite intelligent, as you know, and also based on what it is that you just said.
Mm-hmm.
And by and large, that's what their concerns are.
Mm.
Exactly what it is that you just said. And that is...
Well, we left in place a changed royalty program with regard to salt. We said that it's not properly monetized, and we said that we weren't getting the revenues which were necessary out of salt. This present crew canceled it. So, I mean, in their deliberate judgment, they're the government. They decide. But nobody's making noise about salt. You know, I guess that's not sexy enough.
Oh, no.
What
oh,
you
no.
have,
there are
what
lots
you
of people
have.
Making noise about salt.
Well, what I'm saying is, yeah, but not these miscreants from Grand Bahama who are down here whipping up hysteria
miscreants.
Over something. Yeah,
wow.
They are. They are. The ventriloquist and his dummy, you know.
Boy, I haven't heard that term in a long time. I
yeah.
know exactly what
but,
it means.
But, I mean, you know, you've seen the blueprint. These are the same people who got the money in 2017, destabilized the government by a set of lies, paid for the FNM to become the government, and they got the government they deserve.
You know what a major issue is for the Bahamian electorate, by and large?
Uh-huh.
And that is not that they have a problem. And I can even say not that we have a problem, but of course today here and in this moment I am the interviewer, but not that there is a problem with the government making a decision that the government feels will benefit mm-hmm. the country economically.
Mm-hmm.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
How can the electorate have a problem with that?
Mm-hmm.
The problem is when they do not see, cannot feel the economic impact in their own personal wallet as it relates to these agreements.
Well, first of all, the people
that's
who
what
are
their
involved,
real issue
the
is.
People who are involved
and
in
you
this
know that that's
fight,
what their real issue is.
Yeah, look here. The people in the present fight are selling a lie to the Bahamian public if they believe they can get a check for $2,000 in their wallet as a result of oil. Ain't gonna happen. It isn't gonna happen. The people who are on the streets in New Providence have pure motives, and their motives are more general, which is what and how do we monetize what we get from our natural resources? For example, one of the discussions that was taken around aragonite, which I'm told there are tons of this stuff in the sea, and you could mine it, you could sell it, you could mortgage it. The Bahamas government could make that decision. The Ingram administration made a decision to give Robbie Meyer's company aragonite mm-hmm. license to dredge.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever price they put on that, they did.
Mm-hmm.
So that was fine, I guess, because of course, you know, he's politically aligned with that crew who's making the noise. Now, I was talking to Ken Dorsett, who was our former environment minister, and mm-hmm. he was saying that some of the experts have told us that aragonite in the water is a carbon sink.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these environmentalists who are so interested in the environment would know what a carbon sink is,
mm-hmm.
which is carbon goes into the air. The aragonite absorbs the carbon,
mm-hmm.
so it helps to keep more oxygen in the air.
Mm-hmm.
So one argument is what countries like Norway and those have done, for example, with the forests in Guyana, is
okay.
they paid the government of Guyana not to cut the forest down. So... you could monetize the aragonite in the Bahamas by simply leaving it there and going to some developed country and say, give me $30 billion and we'll keep the sand right in the water.
Mm-hmm.
Possible. And I'm just
True.
Plucking that
True.
Number out of
True.
The air.
Understood.
So there are lots of things which you can do.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I've been in enough public policy fights in this country to know that the facts don't let them interfere with a good story. So right now, you know, it's the PLP's fault. The PLP did this. The PLP did that. You know, us stupid black people.
Like I was saying just now, Senator, that's not really what the electorate by and large is really saying. That's probably what some of the political pundits are saying. That's probably what some of the government officials are saying. But what the Bahamian electorate by and large is saying, okay, you're making these agreements on behalf of us as a people, and we have put you in the House to be our representatives to make these rules and policies that's going to govern our nation for the betterment and the advancement of us as the Bahamian people, especially when it comes to the economic side of things, us as a whole, okay, in every way. But what they're saying is, look, after these agreements would have been made, we are not benefiting. We are not benefiting. This is how they're feeling.
Look. There's an election coming up in 18 months or less. You got two choices, Minnis or Davis, PLP or FNM, okay? And, you know, if you don't like one, you got to vote for the next.
Okay.
That's the choice.
If you don't like one, you got to vote for the next.
Well, I mean, clearly the one now ain't listening to you. He's telling you one, telling you, you know, a fabrication. Oh, I don't believe in oil drilling, but the drilling is going ahead.
So what do you say to those persons who are against the oil drilling as a result of concerns concerning the environment and the economic impact potentially that that would have, especially as it relates to tourism?
We say. And this is the present position. But, of course, you know, we're not blind, deaf, and dumb. So, obviously, you know, when people are lobbying for a particular thing, you have to listen to what people say.
Of course, I'm glad to hear you say that, sir.
You listen to what people say.
Yes, sir.
Right. So if the balance tips in a particular favor, perhaps the future government of the Bahamas will say, sorry, it can't happen. What we do know is the Cubans are busy drilling for oil and have extracted oil right across the other side of the line. Busy making money off it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So this ironclad agreement then, and I'm being sarcastic when I say this, sir.
Yeah.
It just can't be pulled back.
Well,
it can't
let
be
me
revised.
Put it this way. It can't
be canceled. It can't be changed.
I can't advise myself on the law, although I'm a lawyer. I wouldn't advise myself, otherwise I'd have a fool for a client. But let me put it this way. The Minister for Works, when he made his statement blaming the PLP for this, as they always do, also because of this ironclad agreement, said two things.
That's exactly what's happening. You're being, yes, the PLP government
yeah,
at the time
rubbish.
Being blamed
nonsense.
For it.
Nonsense.
But
nonsense.
Continue, sir.
So what I'm saying is, so he says in his own statement, says, well, you know, if they do find oil, these are the people now who don't believe in drilling for oil. They don't believe in drilling, so they say.
Mm-hmm.
But if we do find oil,
but if we do,
we're going to renegotiate the royalty. How are you going to renegotiate a royalty if the ironclad agreement exists?
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to do that if it's ironclad? Then when the reporter presses him on it, he says, well, you know, a sovereign government always has a way of getting these things done.
Now all
so,
of a sudden we're talking about sovereignty.
Right. So if a sovereign government always has a way, how come they can't break the agreement,
mm-hmm.
the ironclad
point taken.
Agreement?
Point
it's just
taken.
Rubbish. It's
point
just
taken.
Rubbish. And they say this blatantly, you know, with an open face, and we're supposed to swallow this nonsense.
All right. So let's wrap up our talks on the BPC. Should the PLP win come 2022? Should the electorate put you in? And they say, okay, we're tied with Minas, we're tied with the FNM. We know that the PLP can do a better job. What is going to be your stance based on everything that we just discussed and what it is that you are aware of and what it is that you know, okay, concerning the protests and the concerns of the Bahamian electorate as it relates to possible, you know, oil spill and the economic impact, et cetera, et cetera. What will then now be the stance of the PLP concerning this matter?
No, I can't predict specifically because the group...
Speaking as of now,
no,
then,
the
let's
group,
speak in present,
the group
term,
that is on
present
our
tense
belly,
terms.
The group that is on our belly has different aspirations, criticisms, and concerns than the group coming from Grand Bahama.
That is very true.
Right. They're two different things. So a government sitting in the seat of authority has to balance all competing considerations. And as I say again, if you've got $5 to $20 billion sitting in the ground for revenue, you'll be foolish to ignore it. You would be foolish to ignore it, particularly mm-hmm. if you find yourself in an economic crisis. You know, Guyana just has a big oil find in the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
They had a
you
scrap.
You said oil find.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
They're now, Exxon is now actually extracting oil.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have 86% growth in GDP this year,
mm-hmm.
the highest anywhere in the world,
mm-hmm.
swimming in cash. And the problem is, as has happened in Trinidad, Trinidad is now scrapping for cash,
mm-hmm.
although they have oil.
Okay.
But scrapping for cash. Why? Because when you get this flood of cash, all of a sudden, everybody goes crazy, and you start spending it like a
mm-hmm.
drunken sailor. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And the point will be, how do you save it and preserve it for the next generation? So
mm-hmm.
when you monetize what's in the ground, because once it's out of the ground, it's done.
Mm-hmm.
It's exhausted eventually. The resource is exhausted. And then the question is, what have you got left?
Mm-hmm.
You got nothing left if you don't invest it. That's why we passed the Sovereign Wealth Fund, to make sure that money goes towards savings. There, all those considerations will have
when
to be taken
When you say money
into.
Goes towards savings, what do you mean specifically? Savings
the royalty
for who?
Goes to a saving.
Savings for?
There's a sovereign wealth fund.
Savings for the Bahamian people.
That belongs to the Bahamian people.
That belongs to Bahamian people. And how does the Bahamian people benefit from that directly? I mean, speaking, you know, layman's terms.
Well,
you said through
roads, schools, of course, because it all goes into the consolidated fund. What I'm saying is that some countries have actually given their citizens a check. That may be possible, depending on what the size of things turn
mm-hmm.
out to be.
Would the PLP consider that, actually giving
absolutely.
Citizens a check?
Well, everything has to be on the table.
Okay.
You know, You know, everything has to be on the table.
Okay, let me just ask you this one last question about this topic. It's very, very pressing. And that is, what would be, if the PLP in power now, let's just say, hypothetically speaking, you're in governance, let's just say that there is an oil spill. What is going to be included in that agreement to make sure that the Bahamas is still going to be okay economically?
What is in the agreement now? I mean, the specifics of it I can't say, but what I will say is that the reason why it took so long to get to this point is because we stopped it for 5 years.
Okay.
The law was changed. The regulations were changed. To make them consonant, we got the advice from the Commonwealth Secretariat to make all of the laws and regulations consonant with best practices. That's what we do.
Okay.
And
so you're not going to answer that question specifically?
Nothing was done under the license until those new regs were put in place. And those new regs are consonant with best practices.
Okay, I hear you talking about the best practices, and we're going to end that part of the conversation right now, but that is really the biggest worry of the Bahamian electorate. And that is, well, at least one of the two. And that is, should there be an oil spill, what in the world is going to happen to us?
Well,
and they want to hear a very clear, okay, and detailed answer to that question. For persons who are asking for their vote, for persons who are asking, let me lead you as a country, let me make decisions for you on your behalf as a country, and I'm going to see to it that you're okay.
Yeah, well, the oil spill has to be cleaned up. That's quite clear, in accordance with best practices. That's what you have to do. But I've been saying the Cubans are drilling oil, are taking oil
now. It's going to be cleaned up, and so, then what's going to happen to the economic downturn as a result in the short term?
What economic downturn?
There's not going to be any economic downturn, but
well,
the possibility of a major oil spill?
Severity of this.
Tourism?
You know, we don't know. You know, we've had hurricanes, and the tourism project survived. See, what the Ministry of Tourism had to do when the last hurricane took place? Look, 70% of the country is still working, only Abaco and Grand Bahama.
Senator, I understand that.
Right.
It's just that persons are wanting to hear more proactive planning.
I hear what you say.
So that there's a level of confidence and security.
No. Life.
Even in part?
No,
I'm saying,
that's not what I'm saying no to. I'm saying life does not offer guarantees. All I can say is that we will act in accordance with best practices. And, you know, I could walk outside and the door stone falls on my head. I'm not going to worry about that. What I know is you invited me into a safe place.
Mm-hmm.
And I assume it's built properly. And I will walk out of here. And times out of 10, I will be safe.
We're not necessarily going to continue on with this part of the conversation, Senator. But you just mentioned the word hurricane just now.
Mm-hmm.
As a people living in a hurricane belt,
right,
we have to be proactive when it comes to planning concerning hurricanes.
And we have a building code which was built for hurricanes that was 120 miles an hour. Now, of course, the hurricane's 150
exactly.
miles an hour.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So let's just make that same analogy. Where is that in the event of a potential oil spill? That's
all the question is about.
And not just wanting to hear about these best practices.
Best practices, whatever those are, the best practices.
Okay.
You can rest assured the government will do what is necessary
to
protect the Bahamian public.
Okay.
Simple
as I appreciate that. I appreciate that statement, sir.
Yeah.
Of course, in very recent days, we've had a spate of murders. And it's just always just so saddening. And this is something that is just concurrent, you know, from one government to the next. Why are we not seeing a change in this? What needs to happen here in the Bahamas with us as a people for us not to be seeing this on the level at which we're seeing it? Of course, we're never going to be in a society where there is absolutely no crime, no violent crime, no murders. But what can we do as a people? What would you suggest, okay, sitting in the seat that you're sitting in for a decrease in these numbers?
Look,
it's heart-wrenching.
We've been struggling with this. Social intervention is what I've been preaching.
Okay.
That's social intervention.
Yes, sir.
The problem is that we've not had a consistent political hand at the wheel over 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So the government's been changing every 5 years, and every time someone new comes along, they think that they're a genius in stopping crime, and so they stop it, you know?
Yeah, that always happens.
Someone told me, I was just talking to a police officer again today, and he told me that yesterday marked 34 years since the PLP appointed a commissioner of police. So all the commissioners of police since B.K. Barnaby were appointed by the FNF.
That's true.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Right. But, you know, blame the PLP for crime. And we all said, look, no individual, no party, no person, no commissioner of police is responsible for crime. But yet you've got the minister crowing from the rafters, crime has dropped by 21%.
Mm-hmm.
The fact is 6 murders in the first 6 days of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So clearly there's something underlying all of this that needs to be addressed. Mm-hmm. Part of it also has to do with how quickly, well, it's the socialization, the inability of people to settle disputes.
Mm-hmm. That is very true. Conflict resolution.
There's a drug war which is going on, mm-hmm. and it's going to get worse with the economy getting worse. Drugs will now rise mm-hmm. up to the top because that's the only way you're going to be able to make money.
Mm-hmm.
So there are those issues. So it's rather complex. Prison reform, which I've been fighting mm-hmm. for since 1986.
It's multi-layered, definitely.
Yeah, lots of things which need to be covered.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
But by and large, generally speaking,
the court system, you know, mm-hmm. Those four Foxhillians gunned down 7 years ago, mm. 2013.
Yes, yes.
On the 27th of December, 2013.
My goodness.
No one brought to trial.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. Nothing done. Nothing mm-hmm. done. So no one has been brought to justice as a result of it. Mm. So people say, well, I can get away with it.
What kind of specific changes do you feel need to be made in the judicial system as it relates to what it is that you just described? No.
Yeah, I mean, I think when Alison Gibson was there, she said she'd raised the conviction rate substantially. But before that,
mm-hmm.
I mean, basically the conviction rate was something like 40%. So mm-hmm. that means 60% of the time you got clean away. All you mm-hmm. had to do is just wait. And that's what, you know, if the PLP wanted to be wicked with in terms of civil disobedience with mm-hmm. these stupid COVID rules that they have going on, where fining people for $250 for not wearing a mask. And of course, you know, poor people are bearing the brunt of
this
as well.
Yes, definitely, right? Definitely.
I just tell people what they should do is plead not guilty, because you know the court system will never get to it. The policeman will never show
up.
You know, I mean, you could clog up the courts by not guilty, not guilty. But people, for some reason, think that if they are at the mercy of the court, and then of course they get whacked over the fingers with these high fines, and it's mm-hmm. just ridiculous. So the justice system a lot, and you know, I'm not sympathetic with the present Chief Justice because I don't think he's done an effective job in dealing with those issues.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have supported him to become Chief Justice. So, you know, it's all of these things. The system is just chucked against poor people,
mm-hmm.
you know, and
that is so very true.
And if those gentlemen, Frank Smith and Shane Gibson, didn't have the wherewithal to pay the high-priced lawyers that they did and to do the investigative work that they did, they'd certainly not be free today.
Interesting comment. You know, the PLP, the hallmark of the PLP, by and large, I would really have to say, would probably be majority rule. And that speaks a lot to economic empowerment, according to the original mission and goal as it relates to the founding fathers, majority rule. What would you say the Bahamas today, a PLP government, what would be that one specific thing that you feel the PLP government would need to do to see advancement as it relates to the economic empowerment of the common everyday Bahamian in this nation?
Gotta put some money in their hands. You know, access to capital is just next to zero. The banks are unsympathetic.
Mm-hmm.
And they just haven't done a good job in lending money to help people go into business.
Mm-hmm.
It just hasn't been done.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's gotten worse. The concentration of economic power has just gotten worse.
Yes.
And I think it's not only the new small businessmen. I think what is troubling to the middle class Bahamian is that their aspirations have been thwarted.
Oh, yes.
By a system. So
that's what it is,
sir. They've gotten so far. And it looks as if they're going backwards. And, of course, their children are saying to them, why should I come back here? I may as well stay in Canada. Mm-hmm. I may as well stay in the U.S. What's mm-hmm. the point of coming back here? So that's something we really have to work on and try mm-hmm. to correct, because that's a huge problem. And, of course, if you have a brain drain in the country, it just can't get off the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we have to work on all of those things.
Yeah, most definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, what kinds of hope do you feel that you can give the Bahamian people today? You know, there's a lot of despondency in the air. There's a lot of despondency in the hearts of Bahamian people, by and large, the mass majority of the electorate. And there's just so much hurt. There is so much pain. There are so many who's just outright downtrodden. What would be your final words to the show today? Just to give some
hope. I think those who are believers
mm-hmm.
have a message which is important to everybody,
yes.
believers or non-believers. And that is, we must always accept that your future is better than your past. always. Mm-hmm. Your future is better than your past.
Mm-hmm.
That you may be looking through a glass darkly, but you've got to get out of bed in the morning and mm-hmm. put those feet down and go out the door and work every day. We have no choice. You know, as that song says, this is it.
Mm-hmm.
Make no mistake where
Very
you
true.
Are. Your back's to the corner. And so if your back's to the corner, you must come out fighting back every day, every day. And you asked me at the start of the show, where do you get this from? My mother. You know, I always remember
That's so inspiring.
Yeah, as a little boy.
Mm-hmm.
I was in Eastern Junior School, which is now called Palmdale Primary.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a geography assignment to do.
Yes, sir.
And this thing was giving me a tremendous amount of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, she's forcing me to say, go to bed, go to sleep. And she said, I'm going to wake you up 4 o'clock in the morning and you're going to sit down and finish this assignment. Mm-hmm. And she did. 4 o'clock in the morning. I was miserable. I was crying. Why are you doing this? But I got it done and aced the assignment.
Wow.
And I think that salutary example.
Yes.
Was something I've never forgotten. Get up early in the morning before mm-hmm. the day starts and get things started and done. And, you know, when the evening comes,
mm-hmm.
no matter what has come, you still say,
wow.
All's good.
She taught you the power of momentum.
Yeah.
That's what that was.
I think so, yeah. And so
awesome.
I appreciate them, you know,
yes.
both my parents. They, you know, I had no issues, no family issues, no nothing. We
wow.
lived in a beautiful place. I got
mm-hmm.
my siblings and I got along. My
yes.
parents got along,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so I'm very fortunate.
Yes, very blessed
to have been.
It was just beautiful hearing you talk about family, Senator. I've never really heard you talk about family like that.
Yeah.
And I believe that is a beautiful note and point upon which to end today's show, part two of a two-part series here on Guardian Talk Radio. Influencers, Lady Shimer, your host. And of course, we're wrapping up with guest today, Senator Fred Mitchell, Chairman of the Progressive Liberal Party. Thank you so very much. God bless you.
Grateful for being here. Thank you.
Until next time, blessings.
Influencers was brought to you by
7Seas. Start your day the right way. Sawyer Studios, located in the Flowers Plaza, Carmichael Road West. Carib Construction. Real Time Sound Studios. And Global Transformation Media, transforming you from the inside out.